Well, good evening. Welcome to worship here at Rose Hill Church on this special Maundy Thursday day, and a special service to commemorate that. I mentioned this last Sunday, that it's not Monday Thursday. Of course, everyone gets confused about that. It's kind of like the beginning of Lent. Everyone's like, Lent? What does that have to do? No, it's Lent with an E, and it's Maundy, M-A-U-N-D-Y. And it comes from the Latin word for commandment. And we call it Maundy Thursday then for Jesus' new commandment that he gives to his disciples when he's gathered in the upper room with them to celebrate his last Passover meal with them, when he says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. And so that is what we look at this evening, and we'll be walking through a good chunk of that evening as they were gathered together and all that they did and engaged in there. So welcome to each and every one of you this evening. I'm going to have you in just a moment stand and greet one another. We got some good news. I don't know if you heard this, but Governor Inslee said because of Holy Week that we can take off our masks and also greet one another with handshakes if you want. April Fools. Sorry. I couldn't resist one April Fools thing anyway. That is it. But I do want to invite you to stand and in a COVID-friendly way, wave to those around you, and we will join together in call to worship and song in just a moment.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
Amen. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Finishing up John chapter 13, these selections of it this evening. When he was gone, Jesus said, that's referring to Judas, once Judas had left. So once Judas was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So God, out of all these verses from your word in the 13th chapter of John and the rest of it as well. God, we pray that you would speak to us tonight. Help us to know your deep and abiding love and the opportunity we have and the calling you have and the commandment you give to us to love as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for anyone who might have missed it just at the start, you're coming a little bit late here this evening or joined late online, this is Maundy Thursday, and the word Maundy comes from the Latin word for commandment, which comes from the verse, some of the verses we just read, where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, verse 34, to love one another, to do that as I have loved you. You may recall this last Sunday, I said that our sermon series in Galatians had come to a close, and it has, but sort of hasn't. So it's kind of like almost another April Fool's thing for you here. It's continuing tonight in a certain kind of way. As we've heard in Galatians, we've talked about it particularly a couple Sundays ago, but even this last Sunday we picked up on it some more, where Paul writes, love your neighbor as yourself, which probably many of us know is exactly what Jesus himself said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He was asked by a guy who wanted to know this. He said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, and another is like it, love your neighbor as yourselves. These are the two great commandments that Jesus gives. And they essentially summarize the Ten Commandments. So Paul essentially quotes Jesus in the middle of Galatians chapter 5, love your neighbor as yourself, he says. And then he also writes in there, I think it's just a couple of verses before, serve one another humbly in love, which is essentially saying the same thing. I mentioned that this last Sunday. So he's being redundant, and it's not that different than Jesus we see here, serving the disciples by washing their feet and then telling them to love. He's being redundant. I've given you this example. This is what it means to love. And, oh, by the way, love others, love each other as I have loved you. So there's redundancy here as well. In Galatians, we also saw that these verses about love your neighbor as yourself and serve one another humbly in love flow right out of and help us understand more deeply the phrase that Paul has when he says, let your faith express itself in love. So tonight, we're kind of extending that theme and that message from a couple of Sundays ago, and we touched on it a little bit last week as well. So we're, in a sense, extending the Galatians sermon series in that way, but we're not in Galatians. Just simply acknowledging that these verses we read tonight tie in so closely with what Paul then writes, you know, 25 or 30 years later. So we see this tonight. So that's what we're looking at this evening, looking at this command that Jesus gives in the middle of the Last Supper to go and love one another. That's where Maundy Thursday gets its name from. As you are probably aware, Jesus served others in humility, which he says himself is an example of how we are to love one another, or how to love others. For example, Jesus served the disciples, we saw tonight, by washing their feet. We saw that in those verses. And then that might be how you and I end up showing our love to someone. Literally, we might wash somebody's feet. Could be a child's feet or an elderly parent's feet. Or you might wash on a missions trip, you might wash someone's feet. Or you might wash other parts of their body, hair, part of their body, who knows. You might find yourself serving somebody in that exact kind of way. I don't know that we need to get too hung up on exactly washing people's feet. The point is Jesus is making is to love and serve our neighbor, and he's setting an example of how to do that, that there is an element of humility in doing that. That's a humble thing to bow before someone, especially in their day and age. They're dirty feet. You know, they're wearing Birkenstocks, essentially. And maybe nothing, maybe just barefoot. And you got dirty feet. So washing their feet was not, you know, the cleanest of tasks. And that takes some humility for Jesus to do that. So the point that Jesus is making is to love and serve our neighbor. And he's giving us an example of how exactly we can do that. It's an example that we can identify with and that we can repeat. We might look to the cross as being Jesus' ultimate sacrifice of love, act of love, and no doubt about it. But that's not a repeatable thing to do. That's a one-time sacrifice and not necessarily one that you and I are called to. If you have the gift of martyrdom, perhaps. That's a one-time sacrificial act of love. The serving one another is something we can do over and over and over and over. Then in verse 34, after finishing the washing of the disciples' feet, and they'd had the Passover meal as well already, so sharing in that with the 12 disciples, he gives this new commandment then to love one another as I have loved you, so that they would know, the world would know that they are Jesus' disciples. There's a point to it. And out of this commandment, there are a couple of observations I want to highlight for us in regards to this too, okay? In regards to this new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. And what I want to do is break it up into two parts. I want to start with the second half of it first. The part where Jesus says, to love as I have loved you. So first we see here that Jesus loves us. We see as he loves the disciples, he loves them and he loves us no matter what. There's kind of an interesting connection, I think, between Jesus and Judas and Peter and us. You could probably pick on other disciples, and we'll talk about some of them in a moment, but especially Peter and Judas because of just who they are. Judas is the betrayer, of course, and he's at the table there. Presumably, he also had his feet washed by Jesus along with the other disciples. And all this happened even though Jesus knows that Judas will betray him. That's what we see in some of the earlier, part of the passage we did not read this evening is Jesus clearly knows who Judas is and what he's about and what he's going to be doing. So then, and yet Jesus included him there in the Lord's Supper, included him in humbly washing his feet. And then Judas gets up and immediately leaves after that meal. So Judas looks good on the outside. In fact, I think there's even a comment there in John at one point that the disciples didn't really know what it was about when Judas left. But inside, he's deceitful. He looks good on the outside, but inside, he is deceitful. Peter, on the other hand, has already previously shown his discipleship is one where he can speak and even act before thinking, as probably many of you know, right? I mean, Peter totally suffers from foot-in-mouth disease. He does it all the time. We even see that here in verse 37 when he professes following Jesus wherever he may go. I'll go wherever you go. I will even lay down my life for you, Peter says. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Because then, as Jesus prophesied, Peter denies him three times. Doesn't even acknowledge that he knows him. So they've both got issues, right? They both got discipleship issues, we might call it. And really, they're not the only two. There's also Thomas, who later doubts the news of the resurrection until he can see and touch Jesus himself. He's probably the one I identify with the most, and I think is the most easy to understand. Like, resurrection wasn't a common thing. You know, they probably thought this was like the first April Fool's joke that the disciples are playing on him. He was the last one to kind of get with it. And there's James and John who wanted Jesus to appoint them to sit at his right and his left hand when he comes into his kingdom. You know, so they've got some pride issues, but they're not the only ones. They get named, but we also have in Luke and Matthew, both those gospel accounts tell us about how all the disciples were arguing about which of them is the greatest at one point. Like, who's the greatest disciple amongst us? And they got in an argument about it. They've all got pride issues. They all think they're all that in a bag of chips. So they've all got imperfections in following Jesus. They all have discipleship imperfections, we might call it. And yet Jesus loves them. He serves them here, literally at their feet and then at the table serving them food. And he tells them to love as he does. And when he says so, this is what he means. Love no matter what. Love no matter what. Sure, there's going to be imperfect people around you, people who think differently than you, people who act differently than you, people who talk differently than you, people who that are just different than you. Love them. Love on them. It's what he does with them here. He washes their feet and serves them the Passover meal, which he, as you know, probably most of you know, he redefines into what we know as celebrate as communion, which we will partake of here in just a little bit. The fact that he loves them and serves them here is significant. And it illustrates for us the unconditional nature of Jesus' love. He doesn't only love those who perfectly love him back. He doesn't only love those who have everything together, whose discipleship is perfect, and so forth. Jesus loves people in spite of their flaws. Jesus' love is way more persistent than to get thrown off by somebody's imperfections. Jesus is not deterred by Judas or Peter or any of the others. And he's not deterred by us either, which is really good news, because none of us, start with myself, none of us have everything together when it comes to following Jesus. Whether we're more like Peter or Judas or one of the others we might identify with, you know, we may not want even to acknowledge that in some ways. It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't stop loving us. Because it's not really about us in the end anyway. It's about what God is doing. It's about Jesus, about his heavenly Father, what the Spirit is doing, about the mission that they have, the calling upon our lives. It's about the love that he has for us. And when Jesus then tells them to love, even as I have loved you, this is what the emphasis is on. This is why it's a new commandment. We love how Jesus loves. So that's the first thing I want us to take away from this tonight. That Jesus loves us in spite of our imperfect discipleship. And if nothing else, I hope you hear that and it resonates with you and sinks deep into your soul. The second thing I want to highlight is that Jesus commands us then to do the same thing. This is the beginning of the commandment, to love in spite of others' flaws in discipleship. A new command I give, love one another. And quite frankly, I would say it goes beyond just one another. I mean, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So we can just say love, even. It's a new command. So now we focus on that first part of the statement. He says this and gives an example here for his disciples to follow so that people would know that we are his disciples. It's not for our benefit. It's not for our benefit as we love others. It's not for my benefit to love people. Not for your benefit to love others. It's not a selfless reason that we serve. That's not to say that we don't get something out of loving people and serving them. Hopefully we do. But that's not our motivating factor. Our motivating factor is to demonstrate to the world that Jesus' disciples are different, that we love and take care of our own, and also beyond the walls of the church, so to speak, beyond the bounds of Christian fellowship. And it's all for the sake of showing the world who Jesus is. That's the whole point. We are to be known for our love so that people would be pointed to him. That's why he gives this commandment to love one another. It's not a suggestion. Hey, you ought to consider loving one another. Think about doing that. That'd be kind of nice. That's not what he says here. It's not just a statement of observation as if he says, well, my disciples will love one another. It's a commandment. Go and love one another, following the example I've given of serving with humility. Love people in the same way that I have loved you. Do this. So Jesus sets forth an example of love here as he washes his disciples' feet and serves them, I'm going to call it communion, because that's what we call it, the Passover meal, in spite of their sin and in spite of their shortcomings as disciples. It's an act of humble service, an act of love, and a model for us to follow. For us to use as an example in how to love. And whether you acknowledge your sin or not, whether you're more like Peter or more like Judas or one of the others, or you know, somewhere in between, you might say, Jesus loves you with a persistent love and commands us to love others in the same way. He washes not just your feet, but he washes your very soul. Ultimately, through his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And does that so that you would be clean. And then he commands us to love as he does. So I want to invite you this evening to simply let his love wash over you, to make you clean. And then to follow his commandment to love others as he has, so the world would know that we are Jesus' disciples. Heavenly Father, it's a difficult command. We use this word love with so flippantly at times. We think we know what it is. We can kind of get our minds around it, but then to actually do it can be so hard. Lord, let this example of serving others with humility, of getting down on our knees before them and washing their feet, serving them however we can. Lord, let that example inspire us. When the cross just seems too sacrificial and unattainable, Lord, let us realize that you're calling us to serve others as you did there when you washed their feet. So God, thank you for that example. Thank you for washing us, not just our feet, not just our whole body as Peter asked for, but our soul. Thank you, God, for that. We relish that love and we're so thankful. And Lord, help us then to step out and love each other and love others that we come in contact with wherever we may be. So that people would know that we are your disciples and that people would be drawn to you. It's in the loving name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all of God's children said together, amen.